Kui Neng, The Sixth Patriarch, Part 2. After this, Daimon no longer gave lectures. Whenever people came to him with their questions, he would reply, "My way is gone." When someone asked who was to receive the master's kesa and teaching, Daimon replied, "The able one has obtained them." Based on this, people speculated on the fact that Layman Rowe's name was Enno, which means the able one. But when they went looking for him, he had already vanished. Connecting this with the preceding, they guessed that he had obtained the kesa, so they all went hunting for him. At the time, there was a former general of the fourth rank who had awakened to the mind of enlightenment. Emyo, Bright Compassion, by name. He proceeded to Great Granary Peak, ahead of the others, where he was about to overtake Enno, who said to himself, "Since this kesa symbolizes faith, how can it possibly be taken by force?" Placing the kesa and his bowl on top of a boulder, he hid himself in the deep grass. When Emyo arrived and tried to remove the objects, he could not lift them, try as he might. Trembling all over, he said, "I have come for the sake of the teaching, not for the sake of a robe." Enno then emerged and sat on a huge rock. Making an obeisance, Emyo said, "I hope the layman will point out the essentials of the teaching for me." Enno said, "At the very moment when you are not thinking of either good or evil, what, senior monk Emyo, is your original face?" Hearing these lucid words, Emyo had a great awakening. He then asked, "Apart from these profound words and their profound meaning, is there anything more of even deeper import?" Enno replied, "What I have spoken for your sake is by no means profound. If you look within, you will find that the profound lies within you." Emyo said, "Although I was at Obai with Daimon, I had not yet truly taken notice of my own face. Now that I have received your instructions, it is like drinking water and knowing for oneself whether it is hot or cold. Now, layman, it is you who are Emyo's master. Enno replied. If this is the case, then you and I are fellow disciples of Daimon of Obei. Emyo bowed deeply and returned to Obei. Later, after he had been promoted to abbot of the temple, Emyo was to change his name to Domyo, he whose path is bright and unclouded, in order to avoid the use of the same first syllable as in Enno's name. When anyone came to train under him personally, he would send them to train under Enno. Following his receipt of the kesa and the teaching, Enno hid himself among a group of hunters in Shai County, where he passed 10 years. Then, on the 8th day of the first lunar month in 676 Common Era, he arrived at the southern coast, where he met Dharma Master Inshu, he who is kindred to the seal, who was lecturing on the Nirvana scripture at Hosoji. Enno had taken up lodging on a veranda when a strong wind began to flap the temple banner, whereupon he heard two monks engaging in an argument with each other. One was saying that it was the banner that was moving, the other that it was the wind that was moving. The debate went back and forth without their being able to agree on the principle. Enno said to them, "Might a member of the laity be permitted to call a quick end to this lofty debate? Frankly, it is not the wind or the banner that is moving, kind sirs. It is your minds that are moving, and nothing more." Inshu, unseen, heard these words and was dumbfounded by their extraordinary nature. The next day he invited Enno to come to his quarters and questioned him on the meaning of his remark about the wind and the banner. After Enno had explained the principle in detail, Inshu instinctively rose to his feet and said, "O layman, you are indeed no ordinary person. Who is your teacher?" No longer concealing anything, Enno openly related the circumstances of his receiving the teaching, whereupon Inshu made the obeisance of a disciple and asked to be given the essentials of meditation. He told the monks and laity, male and female, who were his followers, "I am just a completely ordinary fellow, but I have now met a flesh and blood bodhisattva, and," pointing to Layman Ro, seated amidst the laity, said, "that is he." He then asked Anno to bring out the case of faith which had been passed on to him, and had everyone bow in reverence before it. On the 8th day of the 2nd lunar month, Enno took the full precepts from Vinaya Master Chiko, the light of wisdom, at Hasoji. The altar used for the precepts ceremony was the very one placed there during the Sung dynasty by Gunabhadra, the doctrine master and a translator of scriptures, who had written in his record of the event, "Later, there will be a flesh and blood bodhisattva who will take the precepts at this altar. Paramartha, another doctrine master and translator of scriptures, at the end of the Lang dynasty, planted 2 Bodhi trees with his own hands on either side of the altar and told the assembly, 'After 120 years, there will be a great enlightened man who will expound the unsurpassed vehicle under these trees and ferry immeasurable numbers of sentient beings to the other shore.'" Enno took the precepts under those trees and subsequently opened a monastery on Tozan, just as had been previously predicted. A year later, on the 8th day of the 2nd lunar month, Enno suddenly said to the assembly, "I do not wish to remain here. I would like to return to my old hermitage." Inshu, along with many thousands of monks, accompanied Enno to Horinji. Ikkyo, the governor of Shoshu province, asked him to turn the wheel of the wondrous Dharma at Daibonji, as well as to let him take the precepts without characteristics, that is, the 3 refuges. Disciples took down a record of his talks and called them the platform scripture, which they propagated to the world. When this was accomplished, he went back to his monastery by the river Sokai, Cordial Valley, and poured down a great rain of Dharma. Those he awakened numbered at least 1,000. During his 76th year, after having bathed and cleansed himself, he sat in meditation and died. At the time of diamonds transferring the water of the spirit to Enno's vessel, Diamond had asked, "Is the rice indeed white?" "These grains of rice are indeed the spiritual seedlings of the Dharma Lord, the life roots of both sage and ordinary person. Although in a wild field whose weeds went unclipped, they once grew tall on their own. Now stripped clean of their husks and polished white as the dew, They absorb no dirt or stain. Yet, even so, they have not yet been winnowed. If you winnow them back and forth, you will thoroughly know what is within and what is without. Up they are tossed, down they are shaken. In diamond striking the mortar thrice, the rice grains automatically fell into their proper place, and in a twinkling, the power of original nature was made manifest. In Enno's winnowing the rice three times, the deportment of the ancestors was transmitted. Since then, the night when the mortar was struck has not yet known a dawn. The day when Enno's hands imparted the Dharma has not yet seen a twilight. Reflect on this. Great teacher Enno had indeed been a woodcutter from the south and layman row in the rice shed. He had wandered the mountains plying his hatchet for a living. Then, even though he had had no formal education or studied the classics in order to illumine his mind, nevertheless, upon hearing a single line of scripture, he brought forth that attitude of mind which does not dwell anywhere. Even though he toiled in the rice-pounding shed, devoted to pestle and mortar, even though he had not sat in formal training or resolved the matter through spiritual dialogues with a master, in a bare 8 months, he had, by his diligent industry, nevertheless illumined his mind to the point where he knew that the clear mirror is not a mirrored dressing stand. As a result, the imparting of the teaching was carried out in the middle of the night, and the lifeline of the ancestors was continued on. Whilst he did not necessarily require many years of meritorious practice in austerities, clearly it took his concerted and diligent efforts, at least for a time. The finding of the way by the Buddhas has never been something to be measured in terms of long or short periods of time. So how could the way of transmission for ancestors and masters ever be understood in terms of such divisions as past and present? Over the past 90 days of this summer, I have lectured in breadth and depth, given commentaries on things past and present, and employing both rough speech and soft words, called attention to the Buddha and the ancestors. If you enter into the vague and the picayune, or fall into duality or plurality, the customs of our religion will be besmirched, and what is unseemly in our monastic family will be elevated. Thus, even though I feel that you have all grasped the principles and gained in strength, in all kindness, it would seem that you are still not in perfect accord with the intentions of the ancestors, nor does your deportment entirely resemble that of the ancient sages. Due to great good karma, we have met each other face to face like this. If you are diligently committed to the practice of Buddhism, you will fully realize its fruits, but many of you have still not reached the other shore. You still have not peeped into the hole within. It has been long since the time of the Buddha. Your occupation with the way is not yet finished. Physical life is difficult to sustain. Why trust this matter to the last days of your life? Autumn has begun. Summer has already ended. The season has come for you to go your ways, be they to east or west, and, as of old, scatter hither and thither. Having memorized the random word or partial phrase, will you now attempt to parrot it as what I have taught of the Dharma? Will you put forward some smattering of knowledge and call it the conveyance to the gateway of the great vehicle? Even if you have fully found the strength to carry such a load, what is unseemly in our monastic family will still be spread abroad. How much the more so if you preach a foolish, incoherent, or dubious brand of Buddhism? If you feel that you want to be truly scrupulous in this matter, do not idly fritter away your days and nights, or carry random bits of knowledge away with you. The mortar struck, its sound piercing high beyond the empty blue. The clouds are winnowed away. The bright moon, deep in the night, shines clear.